Welcome to the Chasing Brighter podcast.
You're about to go on a journey of self-discovery as we chase a brighter you. Every single week, we will bring you new episodes that will cover everything from lifestyle and tips to more serious conversations about grief, life, and hardships.
Allow this show to be a reminder to always keep chasing a brighter version of you. Let's get into it.
Hi, Kelly. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Jess. How are you doing?
Good. I wanted to follow up. You sent me a very interesting article about eldest daughter syndrome.
Yes.
From the Huffington Post.
Yeah. I read through it. Obviously, the headline caught my eye, being the oldest daughter. And they are basically saying that it's a thing. But what it is, what I took from it,
doesn't apply to us.
It doesn't apply to us. So it was about the oldest daughter basically falling into the role of being the second mom in some way, but really falling in at a very young age to being nurturing and feeling like they need to take care of their younger siblings, which is not me, because you and I were so close in age. There wasn't a expectation of that.
Right.
The other thing the article talked about is just like being a female as the oldest daughter is different than being the male as the oldest son.
And with the syndrome, basically they followed the mother and the children. And with an increase in mother's anxiety and depression, they found that these young girls who had the syndrome was that it increased their age of adrenal puberty. So changes in skin, acne, body hair happening, all happening earlier. But what's interesting is that does not make menstruation start earlier, because it's like biology wouldn't let them add a baby to the family because everyone's already stressed out making sure that the babies are cared for. So that was fascinating, because I thought it meant menstruation starts earlier, but it does not.
I also like that the study was a longitudinal study that went on for 20 plus years. Mm-hmm. And it was out of a doctor's office or whatever research group it was. And I love that stuff. I love when it's just, because sometimes you read research and it's like, hey, this is what's happened. And it's like a point in time. Whereas this, to your point, like literally saw these young girls grow up, develop, become young women.
Yeah.
Even starting families of their own and how that impacted them.
But isn't that crazy when you think about like evolution? Like how quickly, if you have a stressed out home with a lot of kids, the eldest child's body physically changes because of the social environment.
Yeah, it was very fascinating. There's so much coming out with the mind-body connection and how we all change and evolve depending on how we grow up, too. And so it's not surprising, but I did find it very interesting and obviously very much applicable to Miss Gabriella.
Yeah, no, I think about it. But I was like, what's interesting too, by the way, I remember listening to a study of these OBGYNs in California when she was little about breast buds coming at age of 7 and coming earlier. And then they were saying, oh, that sounds really freaky. But you realize at the time they're like losing teeth left and right. And they're growing at such a rapid phase that it's like kids aren't paying attention. But I was thinking about that. And I was thinking about, okay, when did Gabby start developing? And was it blah, blah, blah? And personally, I don't think she has adrenal or had adrenal syndrome. However, I don't like that she gets stressed out about her brothers and feels like she needs to be in charge of them and feels like she needs to take care of them. And I feel like I'm constantly telling her, I'm here, it's okay. But seeing the eldest daughter, think about Aunt Nancy. Like, think about the eldest daughter running the show and, like, taking over and how that happens. Yeah. And I do think a lot of firstborn males are more type A, more anxious, more organized. But I don't see it to the extreme that I have in females. So yeah, for Gabby, for sure, like more anxious, more in control. Like this morning, I was trying to talk with my young 13-year-old who thinks he's kind and doesn't realize the way things come out of his mouth. And she was just on him. And I kept being like, I got this, Gabby, I got this. This is ridiculous. And she's like yelling at Dominic. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Gabby.
Wes has definitely some obviously oldest sibling traits because his brother is 3.5 years younger, 4 years in school. And so he is that way a lot where can't tell you how many times it'll be like, Wes, I'm the parent. Don't stress out about this. I will take it. I will take care of him. You don't need to yell at him.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, but Beckett, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dude, don't take that on.
Yeah. Because they're more rule followers. They have a difficult time that their younger siblings aren't just getting with the program. It's just get with the program. Why do you got to?
We had a talk. I love the late night bed conversations I have with my children.
Mm-hmm.
They're so disarmed. And sometimes I want to keep asking them stuff, but I'm also a stickler on bed. So I realize I need to shut up and not ask questions because I feel like I can get a lot out of them when they are relaxed and calm at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. But Beckett and I were talking because Wes is going to be in high school next year. So he will not. Beckett realized that he'll never be in school with him again.
Yeah.
So he has 3 months of having an older brother there, and then he'll never have him again. He was like, when I'm a freshman in high school, he'll be a, so wait. I was like, yeah. I'm like, this is the last time. And I'm like, that means you get to do what, you get to set your own path. You don't have to follow in his footsteps. And I think that he's appreciated having his older brother at school over all these years.
Yeah.
I don't think Wes has cared because Wes has gone with the Kelly Martin attitude about his younger siblings being there. Please don't associate with me. You are dead to me. Please don't talk to me. But anyway, so we were just talking about the difference for those two.
Yeah, we, along these lines, shifting the conversation a little bit, I have been working and I think processing and talking and the podcast about my journey parenting my youngest. And I think a lot of it is more anxiety and self-esteem, but it presents behavior issues.
Yeah.
And I feel everyone's on him because I'm telling him what to do. And then Gabby's telling him what to do. And then Dominic's telling him what to do. And then everyone's yelling at him all the time. So I've been talking with Gabrielle and Dominic about, we've got to really watch the way you're talking to Gio. I'm the parent. You don't need to do anything. So Gabby's been working really hard. Here's what I see, Dominic, in the last 24 hours. I know I'm dramatic and I'm making this very dramatic. Dominic is at the tee all the time outside. And I see Gio and he has his little bat and he's going outside and Dominic's like, don't follow me. Don't follow me. Go back in the house. I want to be alone. Get out of here. And I'm like, but he's having his little bat. He's ready to go out and bat with you and you're so mean. And so I'm very annoyed with the way he's talking to him. And so I wait because I want to have a separate private conversation with him. And he had practice last night and wasn't home till late. And then this morning, every morning, Dominic comes down. Gio, chew with your mouth closed. It's disgusting. It's so annoying. It's disgusting. Chew with your mouth closed. And he's making all these noises. And I'm like, Giovanni, Dominic is bothered with you. Maybe we can practice chewing with our mouth closed. And so then I am helping Giovanni with this math worksheet that I found out we had to do at 6:40 this morning. And I go, Dominic, you know how with Common Core, you always have to write, why did you choose 2/4? You know what I mean? You have to give the explanation. And so I'm like, Dominic, what would you write? And then he starts writing and then he goes upstairs. And I thought he was talking about Gio because I heard him say so stupid. But he was talking to one of our animals. But I was like, I heard you. Well, you've been talking to your brother. That's ridiculous. And so then I find out I was wrong. And then we had this talk. And so in the car ride, Dominic, the way you've been talking to Giovanni is not very kind. What did I say? I just said, leave me alone. I want to be alone. Go away. Dominic, that's not really very kind. Why? It's not mean. I'm saying, go away. I don't. And so then Gabby's getting upset and Giovanni's, you don't talk to your friends that way. And Giovanni's like, I bet you'd tell your friends, you would say, I need privacy right now. And Dominic's like, it's the same thing. Leave me alone is the same thing as I need privacy. And so then Gabby gets involved. And then I was like, Dominic, Giovanni is telling you that if you say I would like privacy, that's going to hit him a little bit different. But it's just so funny because Dominic has no, I don't know, what would you say? Like, empathy is not coming easily for that guy.
I don't know the right words to say. I would need to ask ChatGPT because that's like really my brain these days. But I would just say that what I'm noticing with personalities of that age, of boys especially, there's no intended malice.
Oh, for sure.
They say things, they come across the wrong way. And I think our job as parents is to work with them on, and Becca being 10, it's similar to where it's like working with them on figuring out a way to help them see that's not the right way to say it. But I see like Wes's friends say things where I'm like, that guy's kind of a jerk. Where then once you get to know them, you're like, actually, because Dominic, he doesn't see it as that. He just is.
No, he's very blunt.
Very matter of fact.
Yeah.
Right? It's a very matter of fact thing. So it's leave me alone. I don't want to be with you, even though his tone might not be the greatest, which is part of it. But we are learning. One of the things that I think is beautiful about the world we are in is there are ways to describe personalities of our children in a much more nurturing, positive way. And I know you're a therapist and this comes maybe a little easier to you in some ways, but one of the things that I learned about myself was that like emotional neglect, as an example, right? I don't like to feel emotion. I don't like to feel the heaviness of that. So people would say, Kelly doesn't like to cry. She's cold. She holds off on things. That's not very positive. Instead of saying, Kelly doesn't like to feel things because it's too heavy for her and she prefers to live in a world of unicorns and rainbows. So I'm learning that with
or
my own
kids. Or using words of triggering, shutting down, anxiety versus disrespectful attitude. Like you said, cold, just thinking of, different ways that we can describe it versus how it would have been described when we were kids.
So we had, I had this run-in with the teacher for Beckett, where the teacher had reported some behavior and he was punished in a certain way that there were consequences or whatever. And you and I talked, and then I went to ChatGPT actually. But what I was thinking about with a lot of kids is that we have to help them with coping mechanisms too when they deal with different things and worry working through some of these things. So like I had a talk with Becca. Both of my kids are anxious. But they choose to handle it different ways.
It sounds differently. Yeah.
Yeah. So Wes is a people pleaser. So if he's anxious, one of the things he will do is he's going to try to prevent any conflict, any confrontation of any sort. He's going to do everything right that he needs to do. If you tell him what he needs to do.
Fawning.
Yeah. Okay. Right? So he's a fawn.
Yeah.
Beckett is a flight. So he wants to avoid it. He wants to run away. He puts his head in a corner. He'll do some certain things because that's his coping mechanism. And so at school, it comes across that he's ignoring the teacher and instead of working with them. And so what I realized he needs, and so I'm trying to support my kid at home, but with that, which is I have to take him one-on-one and understand what's happening and seeing what's going on. Because it's actually, and Brian is learning this too, I think, because as some personality types just yell louder if it doesn't, that person's not doing it, just yell louder, they'll get it done. So anyway, there's some beautiful resources out there in the world that if you're challenged with your child and certain things or just these little personality tweaks, there's a little bit that can go a long way, Jess.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if you raise your voice at Gabby, she would do it when she was little.
Wes is the same. So
and
then
if you raise your voice at Dominic, he was like, I don't really care.
Yeah,
he would take her toys away and she was like, oh my God. And I remember taking all of his Legos away and he was like, I don't care.
Yeah.
You're like, damn it. Just like the month of February, you too can get your own copy of Year of Yes by Shonda Rhimes. Go to our Instagram at Chasing Brighter. Follow us. Find our reel on this month's book club and in the comments, tag a friend and you'll be entered for a chance to win this month's book.
Year of Yes.
But I think what more we're talking about a little bit is just the emotional side of instead of looking at that as disrespectful or whatever it is, it's recognized, wait, there could be some anxiety there. There could be some shame there. There could be something else going on. And so for me, I think for my youngest, he tends to push back a lot and appear defiant. But I was reading this thing on Instagram. We follow a lot of different parenting, a lot of different nurturing parenting approaches. And there was this carousel post. And it was like this, if you have a child who's defiant, let me describe their day. And it's wake up, get dressed, have breakfast, get your shoes on, get in the car. Like how it's like you're being told what to do all day. And so it's like, where can you implement more choices? And this reminds me of Aunt Jean always talking about love and logic, about instead of saying you need to go on the bath right now, hey, you need to have a bath today. What time works best for you? I need you to do that. Like, how can you implement choices? And so on spring break, I offered Gio a lot of choices and listened. And so we went to go play miniature golf at this really cool place. It's called Castles and Coasters. And they had roller coasters and all these things. And there was an arcade. And it was late and we were really tired. And he said, I want to go in the arcade. And Justin was like, no, we need to go home. And normally I would say, we're not going to do that right now. We need to go. But instead I said, do you want to walk through? And so he and I walked through and looked at all of the games. And I was like, I had took them to that Andretti Racing Center, which was so awesome and so fun. And we did arcades. And I said, I already spent a lot of money on arcades 2 days ago. And everyone's tired. Do you think we could go? Or so I don't know how I said it. And he was like, yeah, let's go. And we walked out. And it was so different.
And isn't it so, believe me, I have my own fights. But those moments when you try these different things and they work. And you're like, it's almost like you're on the edge of your seat and you're waiting for them to be like, and then they're like, okay. And you're like,
I said, okay.
Yeah. And it was like, it was so much. It was one of the best travel experiences we had. Obviously, he's growing and maturing. But I just think instead of coming at it, like barking at him and it being this perspective of like, why don't you just listen to me, and trying to just have compassion and see maybe where he could be coming from. Because he really is, since a baby, been dragged around. His nap was in the car because he had two older siblings and he's just been dragged around. And so it's like trying to look at it from that perspective has been helpful.
Jess, look at us and our beautiful journeys of self-discovery as parents.
Look at us. Yeah. We're growing and evolving. Mm-hmm. Although I did raise my voice this morning, so I'm sure that Dominic's going to have a different perspective. Gio was like, everyone yelled at me this morning. And I was like, Gabby didn't yell at you. And he was like, that's right. Gabby didn't yell at me this morning. And so it was just funny. So I still have, I'm growing, but I still have a lot of room to grow, right?
Yes. Work in progress.
100%.
Thanks for listening today. Don't forget to subscribe so you can hear our latest episodes as soon as they drop.
If you loved today's episode, share with a friend. Come visit us on Instagram or Facebook. Make sure to give us a follow. We have lots of giveaways. If you want to know more about Kelly and I, read our blogs, find more tips, tools, and resources, check that out at chasingbrighter.com. Thanks.